Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Rose, we made it to Friday. Interesting week. July 11th, 2014. Hope you had a great week and looking forward to a very good weekend. We're live each weekday, 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We stream our show and podcast it. It gives you a chance to listen to the program on your schedule at buckmastershow.com. Also live streaming on our flagship station, KVOI.com, our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. Thanks for their support as well. Our Friday Focus interview today, Fletcher McCusker. Mr. McCusker with me in studio. He is chairman of the Rio Nuevo Board. He is also a longtime advocate of downtown Tucson revitalization. He is the owner and founder of Symphonia Healthcare. Joining me to question Mr. McCusker is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah also has something new in her portfolio and her resume, I guess you could say. She interviews newsmakers, and that would be available under Tucson.com,
yes.
Previously AKA known as Starnet.
Yes. Formerly azstarnet.com, now tucson.com.
Your interview this week, Adelita Grijalva, is that right?
Yes. Yes, right. It's posted. She speaks about the potential boundary changes in Tucson Unified and the hiring of her mother-in-law as a principal there.
Okay. So, Sarah, we will look for that. Sarah, welcome to the program. Good to see you. Fletcher, good to see you. How are things going?
Good afternoon. It's hot.
It is hot. Yes.
We're enjoying the rain.
If you have a question or comment, any of the Buckmaster Show listeners, 790-2040, Fletcher McCusker would be happy to entertain your questions and comments about Tucson and what's going on in the downtown area. We also invite you to be a friend of the Buckmaster Show. Today we hit 3,500 friends of the program. We're pretty excited about that. So, Fletcher, when you look at where we are, where we have come, we did some reflecting yesterday. Day here for a half an hour, interesting, with former Mayor Bob Walkup, kind of the backstory, the inside story about how we actually got what is called a Tiger Grant that made the modern streetcar possible. And Mayor Walkup was very, very straightforward about this. No Tiger Grant, there would not have been the modern streetcar. The funds would have gone somewhere else. Will it turn out to be, in your estimation, a good investment?
We'll see how ridership affects the downtown pedestrian traffic, the economy generally. But if you look at the investment that's been made along the streetcar line already, it's approaching $800 million, Bill. So when you talk to people like Chris Bianco or the folks that opened Proper or Diablo Burger, they wanted to be along the line. So there's a great deal of anticipation that you'll see a lot more traffic along the line corridor, the main gate, 4th Avenue, and downtown. And we're all eager to see how that plays out. The streetcar itself is probably going to need to be subsidized. I think everybody knows that. But if you look at it as an economic driver, it's been a huge boom for Tucson.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson of The Star.
Do you think people are going to ride the streetcar?
I think certainly students are going to ride it. And I think the U of A is now going to subsidize ridership, which will help. I think, you know, faculty and migrate it. It's going to be challenging for people from the east side or north side because it really doesn't go anywhere. So, you know, you might see, as particularly the west side develops, people come down and park at one end of the streetcar and ride it to the other end and stop over at different events or venues, maybe, you know, find some sort of central parking. But I do think, you know, initially it's going to be a Disneyland ride, and you're going to see a lot of people ride it for the, you know, the opportunity to see how it works. And whether it actually operates to create pedestrian flow, I think we're going to have to wait and see.
When you brought your previous founding company, Providence Corporation, to the downtown area, give us a little background of what it what at the cost would have been if you were to do that today in the downtown area?
Well,
even
just
if you could get the
sure, they just we were a tenant, so the rental costs from 2010 today have gone from $6 a square foot bill to over $20, $22, $24 a square foot. So the downtown properties now are at market rate. When we moved down there in 2010, most of Congress Street was boarded up. The Santa Rita had just been demolished. The Fox was struggling. The Rialto was struggling. You go down now any day of the week, especially Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you'll see 4,000 or 5,000 people downtown now. So it's really become a thriving, urban, walkable environment. And you have to credit probably food and music for that for the most part. That's why people are going downtown.
Here's Sarah.
Is it something that you think will translate into daytime retail traffic, or is this mostly a nighttime destination?
The retailers downtown have struggled. Buffalo Exchange came down more out of loyalty to downtown than probably any business sense, but they've since closed their operation. And, she said there were a lot of parking challenges with trying to maintain a retail presence. And if you think about how the streetcar might impact that, I'm not sure you're going to see a lot of retail downtown. If you want to shop, you go to the main gate, or there's still retail on 4th Avenue. We expect retail to develop, Sarah, on the far west side, by the Mercado and some of the things that will develop over there. So none of us are really optimistic you're going to see a lot of retail stores, The Gap, or places like that in our downtown environment. It's mostly evolved into restaurants, theater, entertainment, music, clubs. And when you understand that that's one of four neighborhoods that you can be within 15 minutes, I think that probably works.
Would that be unusual? Would that be somewhat of an anomaly for a downtown revitalization not to have a component, a retail component?
Most downtowns aggressively sought retail, and it was, they don't have the connectivity that I think we have to other neighborhoods. Austin, for example, paid bounty hunters to go out and solicit retail and bring stores like The Gap to downtown Austin. So most downtowns have been pretty assertive in terms of creating incentives for retail, particularly the well-known chains. We've not done that here, and I'm not sure that we will. And so, the specialized stores like Hydra seem to be doing okay. But, generally retail has not been very successful downtown.
790-2040, 790-2040 for comments about downtown, talking with Fletcher McCusker. Folks still have confusion about really what the Rio Nuevo Board is, why it exists. I think Rio Nuevo is synonymous for many people with a failed project. And there was actually, was there a contest that the board put together about changing the name of Rio Nuevo? And then I think you all decided,
I think Sarah had some editorial comments about that whole process.
I did indeed.
We'll live that down for a while. But as far back as 2000, Rio Nuevo was created as a tax incentive district, which uses state dollars, Bill, earmarked to remodel our downtown core. So it's really a quasi-state agency. Created by the legislature, using legislative dollars that otherwise would go to other municipalities. And its intent was to revitalize a blighted area that would feed upon itself. So development would attract new development, which would create new taxes, which would create new opportunities. Unfortunately, as we all know now, it was more of a city-run revitalization project where all of the funds, including the debt funds, were designed to attract these iconic, huge projects that almost, without exception, failed. So Rio Nuevo became synonymous with failed projects. And at some point, the legislature intervened and reconstituted the board. We now serve at the pleasure of the state. We either are appointed by the president of the Senate, the speaker of the House, or directly by the governor.
Who is your boss then, in effect?
I'm appointed by President Biggs. I report to the president of the Senate. And you know, the governor has two vacant seats on our board currently, which is why there's only seven of us seated. It's a 9-member board. The governor has 5 appointments. The speaker and the president have 2. So our objective, since we've been reconstituted, was to try and leverage the remaining dollars, which are about $30 million, to create some development and tax-paying return on investment in the downtown district. And we were pleased in the last session, the legislature has kind of relaxed our mandate now and is allowing us to look at a variety of projects that could create economic development. That's really what Rio Nuevo was and is supposed to be using state tax dollars to create additional tax-paying businesses, revenue, and jobs downtown.
And you're not operating in the red anymore.
No, we actually have about $30 million. We will be profitable until 2025 when Rio Nuevo sunsets.
Rose, why don't we take a break right here? We're speaking with Fletcher McCusker, and we're talking about downtown Rio Nuevo. Sarah Garrett-Gasson is here from The Star. If you'd like to join the conversation, 790-2040. We continue on the Buckmaster Show on this Friday afternoon. Back after this.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan bottled water delivery service either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan bottled water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We're talking with Fletcher McCusker, who is the chair of the Rio Nuevo Board, and we've been talking about downtown revitalization. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here from the Arizona Daily Star. Since I had three questions in a row before the break, here's Sarah.
I wanted to thank you, Bill. I wanted to switch gears.
You're generous today, right?
You're always exceptionally generous. Switch gears for a moment, and your other hat is with Symphonia Healthcare, and you have opened up a health and wellness center. Could you talk a bit about the connection with mental health and physical health, and what this center is going to do, and why that's important to have a physical health focus for people who are facing mental health issues?
Thanks for asking that. Yeah, it's called the Assurance Health and Wellness Center. It's on Park in Ajo. We believe it's the first of its kind in the country, where it's basically a primary care clinic, not unlike any of us would go to visit our doctor, but it's under exclusive contract to CPSA to serve the seriously mentally ill. And we can tell you now over time that the way the state operates behavioral health as a carve-out, there's a lot of attention paid to mental health issues, but very little consideration toward the physical side of that. And we know that diabetes or COPD or obesity or drug use contributes to your mental well-being. So we've put together a staff of extraordinary physicians that also include nutrition and diet and exercise and healthy cooking to serve this population. And it's really a movement nationwide to begin to integrate physical health and mental health together so that you can write a treatment plan that encompasses both sides of well-being. And, you know, it's really an initiative on behalf of CPSA.
Because if you're a person who's living with, say, schizophrenia or a mood affective disorder, taking care of yourself for a physical illness like diabetes, there's additional challenges that your
everything affects you. Food, carbohydrates, you know, certain spices we know can create. So the idea is to work with a physician. Everyone that comes to the clinic will start out with lab work. Most of the people in the mental health system do not operate with a full lab workup or a physical health assessment. We'll do that. And we're looking for, you know, vitamin D deficiencies, diabetes, cardiac problems, high blood pressure. These are all things that you typically see in this population that generally go untreated. And they contribute to depression and schizophrenia and most of the mental illnesses. So we've got a group of physicians who are passionate about serving this population. We actually see our first patients Monday.
Really? It's just opening up Monday?
Yeah, just opening up this week.
And you say it's almost a model for the nation?
We don't know of another one. There's some integrated clinics where there are behavior health therapists, but this is a medical clinic. It used to be a Carondelet clinic that we took over. It's right down the street from the Star. And, it's dedicated to the SMI population.
All right. Now we'll put your other hat back on, going back to downtown. I want to talk about the TCC, the arena. What is, in your estimation, what do you see as the role for the arena? I mean, the big shows go to the casinos. A kind of a mid-level show with a thousand seat or so can do the Fox. What's the arena?
Well, the big shows, as you said, are going there because the arena has been blackballed by the major promoters like Live Nation. The casino seats 4,500 people. The arena will seat 9,500 people. It could be a great concert venue. But
blackballed because?
It's despicable. The sound system's antiquated. The lighting systems are still manually operated spotlights. The concession, the bathrooms, you know, my wife will not go to the bathroom at the TCC. We'll go to a concert, but she literally would not go to the restroom.
Smart woman.
Yeah, and you hear that a lot. And artists have said, I don't want to play there. Promoters have said, I don't want to play there. And I think there was a lot of energy into the idea of building a new arena. Mm-hmm. So no one's paid any attention to the old arena. And it's clear now we're not going to have a new arena. So between us and the city, we're spending about $20 million rehabbing the old arena. And that will include all new seats, all new sound, new lighting, new concessions, beautiful new restrooms. A couple of them are actually done. So if people have a reason to be in and around the TCC, they'll see the new restrooms compared to the old restrooms. We're going to activate the breezeway, make that part of the secure ticket experience. That'll have new concessions and, you know, a bar in there, and it's going to be a really neat, intimate venue. The people who are in the entertainment business that have seen it are very excited. You know, the sound system alone will be totally changed and mobile so that it can be rearranged in the arena, and we're excited that it should all be done, Bill, by Christmas.
What kind of shows would be attracted to this new?
Well, I think you'll see anybody who would otherwise go to jobbing.com. There are a lot of artists who would prefer to play in a more intimate arena than to go to a 20,000 seat arena. So I think you'll attract artists who that we now know drive right past Tucson. We're also on the natural drive through between El Paso and Palm Springs. And right now they drive right past us. So if you're booking Taylor Swift or Springsteen or Garth Brooks or anyone at that level, they will not play in Tucson. We think we'll get them back. And we're not going to be relegated to monster truck shows and things like that, that we can get back on the kind of premier concert list.
So the only view they get of Tucson is in the rearview mirror, so to speak, as their trucks roll
from El Paso to Palm Springs. That's right. Yeah.
What about with the renewed and refreshed TCC, what about minor league hockey? What about getting an anchor tenant like that?
There are talks well above and beyond our pay grade that you've had a lot of people looking at the arena. The Coyotes is certainly one of those. The investment that would be required to play at a professional level of hockey would be significant. We get by with the Ice Cats, but if you brought professional hockey to Tucson, it would probably cost several million dollars to refurbish the arena. But that, to me, that seems like a very worthwhile investment to attract a major league hockey team to Tucson.
You're preaching to the choir, a couple of hockey fans.
So I think we're looking at anything that might elevate the interest in that. Of course, as you know, the city of Tucson is about to privatize the management of the arena. So we think with the combination of new management, new food concessions, new aesthetics, that people will start coming back and enjoying the arena experience.
And as far as a hotel?
Scott's building his AC Marriott brand down the street. We are very hopeful that Humberto Lopez will reactivate the now boarded up Arizona Hotel. Immediately west of the TCC in that vacant property there, we have two hotelers in town that are looking at projects. So it's not inconceivable that within the next year and a half, we could have three or four downtown hotels.
Have we reached the point where there are too many restaurants and bars downtown?
If you come down on a Friday or Saturday night, no. If you go down for Wednesday lunch, probably yeah. So they're all finding their niche. They seem to be very busy, and it's eclectic enough right now that they're all supporting one another. So far, no, I don't think we're saturated.
I was going to ask about turnover in restaurants opening and closing. Are we reaching the point where some are going to make it and then some going to close?
Yeah, I think you've seen a couple of things happen as rents have gone up. The requirements to keep the aesthetics and the interior restaurants have gone up. So some of the places that have closed are the older grill types of...
The more Tucson-y kind of places, some would say.
So you're pushing towards... If you look at Hi-Fi, you know, with... You know, they probably invested $500,000 just in TVs. You know, so you're beginning to see more of a Scottsdale, Vegas kind of venue, high-end food, expensive food, mm-hmm. and it has a particular audience. But we are driving out the 24-hour grills and the kind of things that have survived historically downtown. And we'll begin to see how that shakes out. But right now, it's definitely a foodie destination, from Maynard's to Riley's to Yano's to, you know, 47 Scott. These are restaurants that have now national acclaim, you know, for their food experience. And you're seeing out-of-town guests now mm-hmm. come just to eat.
All right, Fletcher McCusker, thank you very much for giving us an update about downtown. Fletcher McCusker, chair of the Rio Nuevo Board. Thanks a lot, Fletcher, for being with us.
Happy to be here. Anytime.
Okay. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Stay cool. 12:31 in Tucson, Arizona on the Buckmaster Show. We have our Friday roundtable coming up. Sarah's not going anywhere, at least for the next half hour, I hope, or so. And Dan Scheer will join us from the Green Valley News. That's next.
Stop it!
Is your dog out of control, dragging you on walks, chewing furniture, barking, or even biting? With over 40 years' experience, Dog Masters Training can train you to provide the proper leadership your dog is waiting for. From basic obedience to walking on a lead, leash aggression to socialization, Dog Masters Training. Because if you don't take control, your dog will. Visit our website, dogmasterstraining.com, or call 977-5965.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Welcome back. It is the Friday Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here, and Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun. Let's begin with politics. You know, everything old is new again in Arizona politics, as border and immigration front and center again in the congressional races. And a lot of this, Dan, is because of what's been going on at the border with the Central American young people. And so it's become a huge issue again.
It is a huge issue, and we've been hearing a lot about it. And we had a report in last week's paper. We had, in fact, I think I may have mentioned that Nan Walden, Nan Stockholm Walden, who's with FICO, the Pecan People, met with Vice President Biden. They were talking specifically about immigration, and it was business leaders, it was the religious community, it was law enforcement, and they're all sending the same message. We need to get something done. And it was people across the political spectrum. And so a lot of people are interested in this right now. And then Nan and I had an interesting conversation about the word amnesty, because for some people, they just shut down the conversation when they hear that, because they say, oh, absolutely no amnesty. It's one of those words that people really can't even define anymore, and really, I will venture to say, shouldn't even be part of the discussion, because amnesty is to just allow 11, 12 million people here to be Americans and we'll go forward. Well, we tried that in 1986 under President Reagan, and it didn't work. And no one's really suggesting that. What they're saying is that we have 11 or 12 million people here who are really enmeshed in the culture, who we need economically, who have, for the most part, demonstrated that they can be a good citizen. Now, how can we give them some sort of legal status so they're not looking over their shoulder all the time? That's really the question here. But how can we get these candidates to get beyond the, you know, the old, we have to seal the border before we talk about it type of thing?
Right.
We have to get beyond that. Mm. We've got a big problem.
Absolutely. And Dan's right about the word amnesty. It's one of those words that is amorphous enough that it means whatever you want to project onto it. It's taken on kind of a life of its own, and I think that we should stop using it. But it's also something that, because it kind of is in the eye of the beholder, is, I don't think we're going to be able to get past it.
Well, putting the candidates together has become increasingly difficult over the years, and I started doing debates in this town back in 1988. It never was like it is right now. I mean, it's very difficult to get the candidates to do debates, as Dan Scheer has found the case this year, but you finally got some, I guess there will be a three-way primary, of course, in CD two on the Republican side, and you have announced there will be a debate sponsored by?
It's going to be sponsored by the Green Valley News and Saurita Sun and the Green Valley Saurita Republican Club and the Quail Creek Republicans. It's going to be at 2 p.m. July 26th in the Quail Creek Ballroom. Quail Creek is technically in Saurita, but if you're looking it up online, they have a Green Valley mailing address. So that's Shelley Kice, Martha McSally, Chuck Wooten have all committed to being there. A few days earlier, they are going to be in Sierra Vista at a luncheon where they have been given the questions in advance and are pretty much going to just give their talking points. That's not a debate. That barely is a forum. ours is going to be different. We're going to really we just want them to give us some solid answers to some very important questions. That's really all we want. And I'm very glad that they're coming.
Well, Mr. Wooten declined to do, the Star had a questionnaire for the three candidates, and he declined to take part in that. And we've offered him time, and our effort, of course, here on this program, certainly with CD1, CD2, and CD3, any of these contested races, we certainly want to have the candidates come on. But we did offer Mr. Wooten time, and he said he was, through his people handling it, that was a little too busy or something, but we did make the offer.
Well, I'm very disappointed that he didn't take part in the Q&A by the Arizona Daily Star, and I know that people like him, and he's, you know, further right on the spectrum, they believe that the Star is biased. Well, this is a Q&A where they were going to, you know, throw in a couple of commas and correct your grammar. They were not going to twist your words. This was your opportunity to speak to the people. So I'm a little disappointed that he didn't do that, and my question to him and to his team, and I think he's just getting some bad advice, Bill. My question to them is, if elected, is he going to ignore the biggest newspaper in his district? Because that is just a really bad idea.
Well, as the person on the panel from the Arizona Daily Star, and I should say that for clarification, I work in the editorial department. The Q&A was handled by the news reporters.
Okay.
So that's separate. We do often in the editorial department do Q&As. We haven't done that yet. We're gearing up for our election coverage. But I will tell you that absolutely those things are not people don't put words. I mean, the candidates' words are their own. I don't know why anyone wouldn't participate in that, because the implication, and this is me just as a reader, is why aren't you there? It looks odd to me as a reader that as a candidate, you're not participating in a vehicle where you're reaching your constituents. And so it makes me wonder.
I thought that was the whole point
odd.
When you're running for office. Isn't that the whole point, to try to get your message out?
And I think you approach that from a very interesting standpoint, because the fact is he's really deeply enmeshed in all of the kind of the back and forth and the catfights and everything. But your average reader just wants the questions answered. It's really simple. They don't care about all that back and forth going on.
Right.
Well, it kind of leads me to the latest troubles with the Attorney General of Arizona, Tom Horn. Well, are voters even noticing what's going on? And what's going on is that he continues to have these election irregularities being held over his head from the race in 2010.
He's got a lot of problems, and personal, personal and professional. And now you have to look at it and you say, I wonder if people are going to still vote for him, but I have to go back to years.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, years ago, I always said Washington, D.C., when they reelected Mayor Marion Barry, who had been stuffing stuff up his nose, you know, Coke or whatever, on film. They still returned him, and at that point I say, hey, you deserve him. But you know what? Arizona deserves better than Tom Horn. And we rarely, and again, I've got one foot in the editorial department and one foot in the newsroom at a small newspaper, and so we don't come out too often and just say, not him, but we're doing it with Tom Horn.
Well, it is interesting. The governor has endorsed Tom Horn's opponent, Mr. Brnovich.
In the Republican primary,
Republican primary, yeah.
Yes, he doesn't have a lot of vowels in his name, but he does have an endorsement from the governor.
Yeah.
I don't think that voters are paying attention to the who's investigating Tom Horn now, but I will say that they do know that he is under investigation. Mm-hmm. And it's so sustained that it's like a permanent cloud that just follows him. And I don't want to disparage Winnie the Pooh in any way, but it's like I have the little cloud that just sort of follows me around. I think that's something that is going to stick and will make a difference in the election. Yeah. Voters notice.
It'd be fascinating, too, about the superintendent of public instruction, Mr. Hoopenthal. He's got his signs all over town picturing him with all the school kids. I'm sure people have seen that. And I just wonder all his troubles have been so widely publicized. By the way, his opponent, we're going to learn about her. She's going to be coming on the show. And that her whole thing is do away with Common Core.
Right.
Diane Douglas is her name.
Right, and the best thing that has happened to Hoopenthal is Tom Horn, because he's getting a lot more of the ink as far as the bad politician type stuff goes. And Hoopenthal, I think, has got a better shot at it, at actually prevailing here. So we'll see what happens. But it, you know, just bad politicians sell newspapers, but I wish we weren't selling so many.
I wish, well, don't say that, Dan.
Hey, wait a minute.
You know, I don't mean it.
Those things should just never be said out loud.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But I think I would just like to, with the campaign, the Hoopenthal campaign, and just the little thought balloons of what he actually thinks about the all the little kids, or, you know, what he really thinks, like what he says, and then what he really thinks, given his anonymous quotes on the blogosphere.
Well, he's got the ads up all over town. Let's go to Rick Grinnell on the Buckmaster Show live line. Rick has a comment about the Horn-Brnovich race. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, I think if you consider the Republican voter and who's going to actually turn out and vote, and if you look at the long-term goal, the Republicans don't want to lose this seat, and I think that they realize that Horn vulnerability is much higher than Brnovich. And I think at the end of the day, Brnovich may squeak this one out simply because you're getting a lot of the leadership in the Republican Party that just won't back Warren. And they don't want to give up that seat. They don't want to give up anything. Either party does, for that matter. And I think that Brnovich may sneak this one through simply because the diehard voters in the primary election are much better educated than the general voter in the population.
Rick, this is Dan. I have a quick question for you. Who do you think has a better shot against Felicia Rodellini?
Simply because of numbers, Brnovich.
Okay.
Yeah, I've heard that before, that pretty much a lot of the leaders of the Republican Party believe Brnovich would have a better chance against the Democrat, Felicia Rodellini.
I don't know. She had such a close race last time with Horn. I think there really is a lot of groundswell on the Democratic side behind her, and those are very motivated voters this time around. I will say I think it's interesting in the Hoopenthal superintendent of public instruction race that the was it the chamber that endorsed David Garcia?
Yeah, I saw that. It endorsed the Democrat, David Garcia.
Right.
The chamber's political action committee endorsed Garcia.
And that is really early in a race like this.
It really is. Quickly, the big story of the week in your part of the world, Dan Scheer, what is this about the entire fire department being disbanded in Aravaca?
Yeah, well, they've got a fire district down there. And what happened was that notices on Monday went out that they were going to lay off all 10 of their firefighters. And there was a public meeting yesterday. And here's the long and short of it, is that there has been such a lag between the billing and the insurance payments coming in that they just ran out of money.
Wow.
Now, when this hit the media, suddenly a little bit of the money started trickling in. And now they have fixed things where they've kept several of those people on. They've had to lay off a couple of them, but if this money were rolling in, they'd be in good shape, and in the long run, they're going to be just fine, and they're backed up by other fire districts, but certainly this is a big bump in the road for Aravaca, but I think they're back on track, but it was a scary week.
Is it just individual homeowners' payments?
No, this is from insurance companies and stuff. For what happened was in November, they opened up an ambulance service. And I should have added that. And they basically, it's a revenue generator, and it has been a good one. But what they didn't anticipate was that it would take so long for the insurance companies to be paying for the ambulance service.
So they are backed up, you said, though?
They are back. They're back in action here. They've kept the chief on. They've kept, I think, about six of the people on that, like I said, they had to let go of a couple of people, but they're going to be okay.
I'm sorry, Charles. We are out of time. Charles had a comment for us about Chuck Wooten, but we are out of time here on our Friday roundtable. And I do want to say quickly, thank you, Sarah, to the Star and the staff for the editorial on Wednesday, for my friend Martha Rothman, who did so much for child well-being issues in this community, many, many years serving and helping a lot of people. I was at the funeral service on the 4th of July morning, and it was well attended, and I'm sure there would have been more people there if it hadn't been on the 4th, because a lot of people out of town. But thank you for the Star and everybody at the Star for remembering Martha Rothman.
Well, thank you. That was did a lot of good work for the community.
All right, that's going to do it for the Friday Roundtable. Dan and Sarah, thank you both very much. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right.
Piero Amori presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Piero Amori. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Piero Amori in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at pieroamoripizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate real estate, mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac. Business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900.
Beat the heat and get back down to earth in the cool mountain air at the 2014 Silver City, New Mexico Clay Festival, the weekend of August 1st. Whether you are a seasoned clay artist or want to get your hands dirty for the first time, you'll be right at home at the Silver City Clay Festival. Enjoy a variety of workshops, demonstrations, lectures on everything from using clay in construction to contemporary ceramics. Take home a work of art or a book or two from the clay market. The Clay Festival also offers tours of a handmade tile factory, a gala reception, live music, juried exhibitions, and more. The Silver City Clay Festival is a Silver City Arts and Cultural District signature event the weekend of August 1st in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. For more information, go to clayfestival.com. Well, Rose, it is good to hear that music. The weekend is here. That means we're officially on the home stretch as we push toward 12:55 here on the Buckmaster Show. That music signals Weekend Watch, hosted by Matt Russell, and Weekend Watch brought to you by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Great place to beat the heat. Just 3 hours east of Tucson to the mile-high elevation of Silver City and the great art galleries in places like the Gila National Wilderness and the world-famous cliff dwellings. Great places to stay like Casitas de Gila, guest lodges, and you can find out all about it at their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch here on the Buckmaster Show, inside Tucson food and beverage columnist, Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist. Food is his passion. He is also blessed with a great metabolism, so no matter how much he eats, he doesn't gain weight. I don't understand it. How are you doing, Matt?
That's music to my ears. How do I make that happen?
Well, it just this man can eat. You can pack it away, and the weight, the waistline just doesn't change. But that's another story. Happy hour time at Poppy Kitchen.
Yeah, you know, I just love a great summer happy hour, especially when you can get a great view of our late afternoon monsoons. And I think the perfect place today is high atop the hills, as you said, at Poppy Kitchen, located on the grounds of the Westin La Paloma Resort. Now, Poppy Kitchen's happy hour features a selection of six cocktails on tap, including one of my favorites, the Geo Punch, with strawberry-infused rum and fresh citrus and pineapple granita. This is all going to pair, of course, nicely with any one of their happy hour snacks. It all starts today at 3:30 at Poppy Kitchen, my official pick for kicking off the weekend today.
When you said that rum drink kind of makes me feel like I'm back in the Caribbean, so I mean, it's a great kind of a summer cocktail, isn't it?
It's right on the bullseye, Bill. Absolutely delicious.
For those looking for the suds, we have a lot of beer drinkers in the audience. Where should they be attending?
Yeah, we'll leave it to our friends down at Maynard's downtown to keep it hip and happening throughout the summer. And tomorrow night is no exception with the launch of their monthly Sear and Beer event, where meat and beer come together in delicious ways. Now, this Saturday's Sear is going to be a barbecue pork rib tip with a beer glaze, jalapeno cornbread muffins with salted beer and honey butter, and five Arizona beers are going to be on hand for libating as well. Now, you can enjoy the Sear by itself for just $12, or add the beers and call it $25. Either way, you're good to go for a sensational Saturday night at Maynard's from 6 to 8 p.m. tomorrow.
A place very close to you is Finney's Landing, very close to the Russell Public Communications up on Sunrise.
Yeah, I can pick up my Wi-Fi from what we've dubbed the Russell Public Conference Room Annex Number 2. Well, rounding out the weekend is what has become a Foothill Sunday tradition, Bill. It's Steakout Sunday at Finney's Landing over here on Swan and Sunrise. They're talking an 8-ounce black Angus sirloin grilled to perfection with hand-cut fries and a choice of size for under $20 with live country folk music and a beach and bay atmosphere. Bill, I can't imagine a better way to kind of wind down the weekend then it's Steakout Sunday at Finney's Landing. Tons of fun.
Make sure you wear your Hawaiian shirt.
Absolutely. Got plenty of them to choose from.
What's going on with the Inside Tucson Business column?
Yeah, Bill, there's a guy in town who's been stung by bees more than 1,000 times, but for someone in the honey business, it's just another day at the office. I sat down with him recently to learn about the art
of honey harvesting and why his sticky stuff is so popular with local chefs. You can check it out in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business. This is really sweet stuff.
All right, Matt, have yourself a great weekend.
Thanks so much. Cheers, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of the team, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt, my teammate, who I just screwed up your name there, Rose. Sorry about that. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and a safe weekend and urging you to check out the fine programs that we have for you on AM 1030 KVOI over the weekend. All starts tomorrow with everybody's favorite guy when it comes to gardening, Phil Cedar. He's got all of your questions answered about gardening on Phil's program, which starts the ball rolling for our expert talk on the weekend, Phil's show, at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Right on through the weekend, then Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, 6 to 8 on Monday morning. And the Daily Double, 8 to 9, with Chris DeSimone. And then Rosemary Brandt, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04 on Monday afternoon. Until then, have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.